Hello and welcome to this supervisors module, where we're going to be looking at assessing supervisor competency to work with students. So let's get straight into it with the aims and objectives. The aim is to identify supervisor training competencies for online supervision. So I would say objectives: to assess the supervisor's qualifications and suitability for supervising students, to distinguish if a supervisor's understanding of GDPR as it relates to remote working, and finally to identify specific risks in face-to-face supervision. So in terms of preparing students for counselling practice, traditionally there's always been a notion of supervisors maybe sending in their CVs and supervisors meetings, where you can meet the supervisors and get a good sense of who they are and from their qualifications, and then you would allocate students to them. And then of course you get student feedback to see if they are happy with their supervisors. Now in the online world it is slightly different, because students are working online and remotely. A supervisor with online specific knowledge is essential. So the reality of this will be there'll be very, very few supervisors who've taken a specific online training qualification in supervision, especially for working with people online. However, I would suspect that a majority of supervisors have taken some form of course. And I would suggest a good start on that is to ask if they've done an 80-hour course in online training. That should give them the underpin to understand the phenomena that is displayed specifically in online and how they can help students manage that and make a professional assessment of how a student is coping working in what is, let's face it, a very new way of working. Secondly, knowledge of theories such as disinhibition effect, black hole effect, and subconscious processes around working on the phone. Now, I think this is fairly essential. Disinhibition, the idea that John Sula highlighted, that people become disinhibited when they're working on a phone or cannot be seen behind a keyboard, and their behaviours may alter. They may not take their therapy is seriously, fail to turn up, take phone calls in inappropriate places, I think is something that students should understand and practitioners definitely need to understand and supervisors need to be able to work with. So I would say if you are speaking with supervisors, absolutely ask them what their knowledge of disinhibition, black hole effect, and subconscious processes around working on the phone. Now, I've not used the term transference and counter-transference specifically because in some training organisations, they're considered more psychoanalytical, psychodynamic, and some humanist practitioners don't really recognise the term. But I think everybody would understand subconscious processes. And in terms of maybe fantasising about who the therapist is because they don't know who they are, and that can go both ways. It could be that clients become really curious about who they're talking to, this disembodied this disembodied voice on the phone. It can be very compelling to try to put a face to it, and all sorts of fantasies can arise from that. So as a supervisor myself, I've had to work with that subconscious process and help my supervisees become aware of it. And I would say practicing as an online and telephone counsellor is desirable. I think, counselling is about talking the talk and walking the walk. And I think that unless you are actually doing the work or have great experience in the work, I think it's quite difficult to supervise anyone effectively. So there are three starting positions which may be useful for you. There are some ethical considerations. Bodies such as the BACP and ACTO publish specific guidance on supervision requirements for counsellors working online. And the BACP fact sheet 47 states it's considered ethically desirable to receive at least some elements of regular supervision by the same method of communication that is used with clients in order to gain direct experience of the strengths and limitations of the chosen way of working. So I have a supervisee who only wants to be supervised via phone because her her main way of working is by phone. So I think as a supervisor, that's been very useful for me to be able to work with this supervisee on the phone. And certainly I will have a lot of stuff to take to my supervisor about that. But it is, I think it is fairly essential. Also, ACTO identifies competencies to supervise. And they say that supervision of online therapy is a distinct aspect of clinical supervision. ACTO believe competencies over the range of expertise and activities and knowledge specifically to an online environment. So there's two bodies that kind of oversee counselling and psychotherapy. And both of them are saying much the same thing, that if you're a supervisor, you should have specific competencies, knowledge of processes, activities, theories when working and supervising students, or anybody for that matter. Sometimes a placement and supervision audit's useful. Online practice requires supervision that supports students working remotely or in a blended economy. So it's very likely that your students may very well do face-to-face supervision, but they also may do online supervision. It could be quite blended. And tutors may wish to consider contacting existing supervisors to inquire whether they have undertaken online and telephone training. I think that would be useful because obviously there are specific processes that take place online. And if a supervisor has not got that knowledge, how can they support the student and be of service to the client? And establishing whether supervisors who are working face-to-face with students have a COVID-19 risk assessment in place. So I think that if I'm speaking with colleagues who may be working in higher education or further education, I think a useful meeting may be with your health and safety manager. He or she will be able to identify what the college wants or the university wants in terms of health and safety. I remember when I was teaching, I was expected to go to every single placement my students practiced in and do a health and safety audit. So I would strongly recommend that you spoke with your health and safety officer. You could have a situation where a student catches COVID and becomes very ill, and that could be quite difficult. You also may have a situation where a client catches COVID, and that could be quite difficult. So these things need thinking about. Preparing students for data protection. Online practice requires supervision that supports students working remotely or in a blended economy. And again, tutors may wish to consider asking supervisors if they're aware of GDPR and the boundary considerations when students use their own devices to contact clients. Now, this is really important because unlike working face-to-face, students will almost certainly be using their computers, their cell phones, their mobile phones. And there are data protection considerations here. So I would be asking supervisors if I would ask them quite straightforwardly if they're private practitioners, are they registered with for GDPR? Are they registered with the Office of Data Protection? And if they're not, I think they could find themselves with some difficulties. And also establishing what protocols they have in place to contact agencies or tutor should a data protection breach occur. Remember that students are carrying laptops, mobile phones. These things can get lost or stolen. And if they've got data on them that belongs to a client, that could put students in difficulty. So I think the data protection piece is really something to consider. And I'll be honest, I don't think it's an easy one to completely cover, because you know, you could go down the road of saying that all your students need to have password protected screens, password protected phones, that they don't have a family computer, they use their own computer. After all, you wouldn't want a computer that was used at home, someone going onto it and finding client notes or client's details or client's phone numbers. So I think it's a conversation to be had in the protocol work from that. Health and safety. Again, tutors may wish to consider establishing whether supervisors who are working face-to-face have a COVID-19 risk assessment in place. They should do. They should do. You know, maybe that's masks, maybe that's visors, maybe that's a screen. You know, maybe that's reporting to the students should they become ill. But it really is a consideration. And also developing a reporting protocol for agencies and supervisors should a student contact COVID-19. So what happens if your student contracts COVID-19? You need to speak to your supervisor that's supervising them and the agency if they've been in contact with them face-to-face. So again, there's a fair bit to think about, there. In terms of a plenary, things to think about, it may be worth considering, are current supervisors qualified and experienced enough to work with your students? What health and safety policies need to be considered for student welfare? Inquire if supervisors are aware of GDPR considerations for students working remotely, and what health and safety procedures are supervisors putting into place for face-to-face supervision? In terms of some useful references, I've put some links in to the BACP and ACSO, and hope that might be useful for you.